I just wanted to share with you all, this sermon is not an easy one to share. I'm going to be honest with you all. Last night, you can see I have a manuscript. I have this to help guide me through the sermon, to have different points to help communicate God's word. And I had prepared this sermon. I spent about 10 to 15 hours a week preparing, praying, languishing in prayer for each of you. And so, but this last week through series of going through some difficult things in my own life, as I went to prepare this, I rehearsed it, came here, rehearsed it, and my heart was not in this sermon. And what happened was, and I ask this question every week, as we've gone through the book of Acts, what would happen if Christ Community Church reflected the book of Acts, right? I ask that every week. Some of you said, I'm a broken record in that question. But as I sat here and asked the question, I felt today's sermon was more giving a statement of answer. I want in my life to reflect the book of Acts, that God would work in me to reflect the book of Acts personally. And I know it's God's desire for us as a church to walk in this, because as I asked the question, I thought to myself about the Church of America. How far have we gone from the book of Acts? We have gone so awry from what the early church was. And I sat here and began to weep, not just about Christ's community, but about the church and the state of the church. And I share this message with us. I don't have any notes. I have no buffer. I have nothing to guide me in this but the Holy Spirit. I had prepared a couple of slides because thankfully this happened once before, but it happened on Sunday morning. But thankfully it happened last night, so I was able to put together a couple slides with some scripture. But I come to you today really with just a sober heart. So if you would just would you pray with me today? And would you ask the Lord to prepare your heart? Would you pray for me? Lord, I thank you for this message today. God, you take this message and you deposit it in the heart. And Lord, if there's any heart that's hardened, God, right now I pray that their heart would become soft to receive this word, God. Lord, I pray that the word goes in good soil, that the birds of the air would not come to devour the seed of your word, that the word would not go in thorny soil, that the word would not go on rocky soil. So, Lord, I can sow your word, and I proclaim your word today. But, God, you're the one that has to take the word and register it in people's hearts, God. You're the one that has to take it, Holy Spirit, and bring fruit and repentance, God. You're the one that has to do this, Lord. So I invite your presence, God, and I get out of the way, Lord. Give me the words. Lord, as your word said, that you will not know at the hour what you ought to say, but the Holy Spirit will give you utterance. And so I pray for the utterance of the Holy Spirit today as this message is declared. I pray for my brothers and sisters. God, I thank you that you love them, Lord. I thank you, God, that your intention for us is to walk in what you have intended for us as a church, not just to be comply and conform to the modern day church, but to conform ourselves into the image of Christ. So I pray today, God, that we would compare ourselves to the standard of your word, God, and what you've called us for. I pray that you would move today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, again, I want to challenge us, and I wanted to ask a question today. Where is your willingness? Right, this isn't just for us, the Christ Community Church. This is a message for the church in America. Where is our willingness? Where is our willingness? You know, and I think about what's going on in the church, and I look at the book of Acts. I've heard some criticisms from a couple people here, and I've heard some things about what we're going through Acts. When I ask that question, mainly because when we read Acts, it's descriptive and not prescriptive, right? So we're in the 21st century. Acts was written in the first century. And we hear the message of that we have to understand the cultural context because they didn't have cars back then. They didn't have all these things. And that is all the well true. But I think in many ways, the substance of what we're reading in Acts, the content of it, has been missing in the church in America for a long time. We have slowly veered away from what God has intended for the church. And what we've talked about, the pillars of the church of Acts, what were they? They were the Acts church was committed to discipleship. Right, they were committed to the word of God, the teaching of the apostles. They were committed to the teaching of Scripture. They committed themselves to prayer and fasting. They were a church that was deeply hospitable. They were a church that salvation was normative in. There was a church where signs and wonders were evident in. And I don't know about you, but I look at the modern day church right now. I don't see that. I see glimpses of it, but I don't see that. And my heart breaks, and I feel the Father's heart breaks for the church. Because the reality is, Jesus is coming back very soon. He's coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride. And if we're not cemented in the Word of God, and if we're not allowing God's Word to be what parallels our life, what's going to happen is when times of turbulence come, when times of shaking come, we're not going to be standing, we're going to be shifting, right? The Bible says that he who builds his house on the rock when the storms billow, the house did not fall, but he who built his house on the sand when the storms billow, the house fell. Because it wasn't built on the rock. And my fear is that as the church in America, we have lost the foundation of building our salvation, our life on Christ. And so this message this morning is a message of repentance. It's a message of calling the church, not only us, but the church of America. Because when I've been to many churches, I'm sure many of you have, and they love their people that love the Lord, believers that love the Lord. When I look at some of the pastors, and I'm including myself, I had to say, Lord, I need to turn from my own sin. Right, but I remember, as an example, when I was in Connecticut, I was going to a church, and I remember I'd gone to this church for 5 years. I had known the pastor for several years. I was away at Bible school, and I remember reaching out to his assistant in September. I don't remember the year, but in September, I reached out to the assistant, and I said, excuse me, miss, I'd love to get an hour meeting with the pastor just to talk about evangelism. I'm coming back in December. Does he have just an hour to meet? And she says, unfortunately, he's so busy, he doesn't have any time. I said, okay, well, what about in the summer? I'm going to come back June to August for my break from Bible school. Can we meet even just for 30 minutes? And she said, no, I don't have his calendar made that far in advance. And it's an example to say, and I want to say also to you that I am also not perfect in this either, because some of you reached out to me this last week. I have been not unable, but I've been wrestling through things, and so there have been things that I personally have not responded in, and so I am not perfect in this either. But what I'm saying is I feel the church has lost its vision. The church of America has lost its vision. And in many ways, we've lost our lampstand, what Revelation talks about. We become a church that's settled for the cultural idols of the day. I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. This is the church in Laodicea. And we know these verses very well, but I believe it's the state of the American church. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you either be cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And when John sees this vision, when he's seeing it for Laodicea, Laodicea is in Asia Minor. And in Asia Minor, Laodicea is between Colossae and Hierapolis. And between Colossae and Hierapolis, Laodicea stood it with an aqueduct to get water as a pipeline from Hierapolis and Colossae. So Hierapolis would have the hot water, Colossae would have the cold water. And by the time the water would get to Laodicea, the people would receive it and they would spit it out of their mouth. And so when John writes this, he's quite literally saying, this is what's happening in your city, but this is what's happening to the church. And this here today is a modern, although the first century is for us, I believe what the church has become. And God wants to bring about a place of repentance in each of our hearts. Because I don't want to just read what we see in Acts. And I don't want to just proclaim it. I pray that we would become what Acts is intended. Jesus, in Matthew 23, verse 37 through 39, he's lamenting over Jerusalem. This is God's covenant people, and it's God's church in the Old Testament, right? And he's weeping over Jerusalem. And in verse 37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right? And Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem. But this speaks about the heart of Christ. Because right before Matthew 24, where Jesus speaks about the signs of the end of the age, what we all know, this famous passage of Scripture, where it speaks about there will be false prophets that rise up, the love of many will grow cold, the destruction of the temple, all these things are foretelling. But before he speaks about that, he speaks these words in Matthew 23. How I would have longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. And when we read Acts and we think about what we see in Acts, and particularly talking about signs and wonders in this case, but all the aspects of Acts, there's a teaching of cessationism in the church where the gifts of the Spirit have ceased at the time of the apostles because it was for the verification of the gospel in the time of the early church. So there was no longer any need for healing, prophecy, and tongues. This is the teaching of cessationism. And a lot of the cessationists will say, this is the reason why there's not a lot of miracles happening in the modern day church. But I'm here to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I don't believe that's the reason why God's Spirit isn't necessarily manifesting his power. I believe it's because the church has lost its willingness. And when we get down to brass tacks of everything, the Father in his love, he ministers to where we are. But for us as believers who have called upon the name of Christ, have confessed his name, he has more for us. And the Father says, here, son, I have this for you. I've got this for you. But we say in our own hearts, no, Lord, I'm only willing to go right here. That's going to cost too much for me to go. It's going to mean I have to lay certain things down. It means I have to sacrifice certain things. Or daughter, I've got so much here. I've got this for you. Oh no, Father, I'm going to hold right here. And God wants to bring you to place. He's asking you and I today. And he's asking the church in America to say, where is your willingness? Where is your willingness? How far are you willing to surrender? Because, listen, brothers and sisters, God is not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to force himself upon the church. His heart breaks for the church. But as C.S. Lewis says, he is the cosmic gentleman. He is not going to force himself to take you to a place where you're not willing to go. When we think about the modern day, what's going on right now, and we think about the church itself, I believe we've settled for pragmatism over power, where we think about the functionalism of the ministries rather than we actually think about the discipleship of the ministries. I believe that we've become a church that's tolerated sin for too long. Even in Nevada, a conservative place, right? We would all, many of us are conservative, many, maybe you're living wherever you find yourself in the spectrum, but primarily here in this area, in rural Nevada, it's more conservative. And with that said, there's all these things that I've gone to, I've shared with you where I'm from, and New England's very liberal, and there's an indoctrination of things that are trying to be pushed on our kids, right? And here in Nevada, we would say, no, don't push that on me, right? You can believe what you want to believe, but don't push that on me. And it's true, people have the freedom to believe what they want to believe, that's true. But we become almost tolerant as a church when God is saying, no, I have more. I'm showing you a blueprint through Acts of the substance of what I have for the church. And I have so much more. And we've tolerated things for too long. All the while, yes, people are making the decisions that they do, but where's the fear of God? That these people that don't know Jesus are going to hell. Where is the fear of the Lord? And this is what I believe has been enveloping the Church of America. So this message is not just for you here today, brothers and sisters. This is a message for you, but it's also a message for For me, it's a message for the pastors in America. Say, come back to your first love. We have intentions that may be good and pure, but slowly over time, the church has turned into something more like a circus. You've probably been to a lot of churches where in many ways you probably feel like a number. They come in and out. And I say this because I've been in the situation that you're in, especially if you're new here. I'm sure you've been to churches where it's been, I've come here, I feel like I'm a number. I get clocked in and clocked out. There's no community. There's no fellowship. This doesn't look like that. Didn't you feel that? Is there a dissatisfaction in your heart? Isn't there a thing to say, isn't there more? There should be more. We can't play games because it has to start with you and me. Because we are the church. It has to start right here and now. For all of us to say, Lord, here's my heart. I turn from the things of convenience. I turn from what I know to be true, and I turn to you. It's got to start with the circumcision of your heart. It's in Matthew 23, verse 38, it says, the house was left desolate. And Jesus, when he returns, will your house be left desolate or will it be filled with him? When he returns, will the church be left empty or will it be filled with him? Will Christ's community church be left empty or be filled with him? Because as we pray, let's pray with Seth and Danielle and Venus today. There will be a day, brothers and sisters, where 2 Peter describes that the elements of the earth will be destroyed with fire. So there will be a day this building will cease to exist. This building that we are in right now is not going to exist at one point. And if we're trying to win people to a church, we're missing the entire point. We're trying to win people to Christ. Because that's the name that will last forever. The name of Jesus will last forever, brothers and sisters. His name wants to be worshipped in your life with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. We cannot settle for what we see in the modern day church and say, this is what God has. And when we read Acts and that question is proposed every single week, what would happen? We can't compare it to what's going on around us. We have to go back to the standard of Scripture. Is this mirroring what we see in Acts? And praise God, as Seth shared, God is doing incredible work, and this message is not to negate that. Praise God for the baptisms today. Praise God for the healings. Praise God for these things. That's not to negate that. Please don't misunderstand me. I rejoice in these things. But I know that God has more for the church. I know he does. And I say that with assurance because of what Scripture shows us, what we've been preaching about Acts. There's so much more. So I don't have a fancy sermon for you today. Don't. This was last night. Much of this is me going off of things that the Spirit was speaking to me last night and things that I had prayed for. You know, next week I do feel like the message is needed to be heard and God wants to infuse through it about how to discern his voice. I believe that's extremely important for the times we're in, of course. But I do believe it's important to pause and as we're going through Acts and say, Why are we going through Acts? What does God intend for us? It's not just to read, and it's not just to come. It's not just to sing songs. It's not just to read off the screen. It's literally to come and say, Lord, here is my heart. Lay bare before you, not just on Sunday mornings, but every single day, to lay your heart at the altar to say, Lord, I don't want to just sing this song with empty phrases and empty words. I don't want to just hear another message and just be a hearer of it but not a doer of it. I want to take your word and I want you to mold me and shape me and use me to not just read what I see in Acts and say that was for the apostles or that was for the early church. No, God, this is what you have for me. His word is inerrant. His word is enough, brothers and sisters. His word is alive. It's living and active.
Amen.
sharper than any double-edged sword. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. He's the same. He never changes. He is immutable, unchanging. He is the Father of lights with whom there is no shadow or shifted due to change. He doesn't change. And nor by the grace of God should we, but what he has prescribed throughout the New Testament and Old, and what he shows us in the book of Acts. So this morning, I'm here to tell you there's more. There's more. And the more is laid out. I want to take time just to read with you. I want to read just a particular passage that's come to mind. And I want you to please listen. You can close your eyes if you'd like, so there's no distractions. You can just hear the word. You don't need to look at me. Just focus your attention on Jesus. We spoke about the church in Laodicea. That's the state of the American church. But the call, I believe, for each and every one of us this morning is Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read these words from verse 2 through 7. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my namesake, and you have not grown weary. And here then is the word. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Unless you repent. I'm going to read this one more time, verses 4 through 6. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. It's time for the church, America, return to its first love. That is the solution to come out of the state that we're in, of being lukewarm, of serving two masters. We would never say that. We would never say, I serve two masters, but by the way that the church is living and existing, there's this pendulum swinging. And this morning and today, in your heart and in the church, I pray as a whole that we would come back as a message of return to your first love. Do the works that you did at first. That when you remember the time in which you first got saved, remember that moment when you first were converted. Yes, you've matured in wisdom. But do you remember the moment when you first got saved? What was it like? There was this excitement. There was this joy. There was this, God can do anything. Right? There wasn't this jadedness that's developed, or there wasn't this hardened heart. Come back to the works that you did at first. Come on to Christ. Come on to Christ today. Come on to Christ today. I just want to take a moment to pray. Lord, I thank you for this word today. God, I know, Father, this is a word that you have to deliver and share with each of us, God. I don't know where any person is at in this room. I don't know where they find themselves. I don't know, Lord, you only know the intention of our hearts. But for all of us, God, in this room, Lord, we all see the sense of what we read in Acts, what we see in Acts, and we find ourselves being dissatisfied with what's going on in the church in America. And not just only in the church, but God, in our own hearts, I pray for a holy dissatisfaction to be transplanted in the hearts of my brothers and sisters today to say, Lord, you have more for me. God, that we would return to you as our first love today. Lord, that whatever lukewarm spirit has been creeping into our hearts that has kept us from saying, Father, okay, I see the cost, but the chasm between the cost and you is not too high. Lord, that we would lay that down in the revelation of your grace, oh God. And I pray today, Lord, that we would, that every one of us would taste and see that the Lord is good, that his love endures forever. And I pray as we taste and see, God, I pray that we would continue day by day to taste and see of your goodness, Lord. I pray that my brothers and sisters would never be the same. I pray they would say, Lord, you have my yes today. Lord, you have it all, Jesus. And I pray today something would start in this body deeply, God. I pray something would envelop our hearts by the Holy Spirit today in this body. I pray, Lord, we need help. We need help. Because, Lord, we see things, what we're reading in Scripture, but God, we need help to know how to do this and how, because we know, Father, we have ideas of how things should look, but God, we need help to carry out what you have for this church and how it should look, Lord. We need help to do that, Lord. We need your grace. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But God, you have our yes. You have my yes, Lord. To say, God, we don't want to just be here, just to hear a message. We don't want to just be here, God, to go our way and be the same, Lord. We want to be changed. And so I lift these things up right now, and I pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, as we close out the service here, it's a shorter sermon today, but I don't know how to end this service necessarily. I just want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do right now. And so, Becky, can you play some instrumental music? And I just want to give you a chance. I just prayed, but I want to give you a chance to take some time here with the Lord and say, God, I've let certain things into my life compromise. Oh God, I want to see this, the church, the Christ Community Church in my own heart become what I read in Acts. Lord, I want to see that, God. I want it to be mirrored in my life in this church. And so I want to give you a chance just to take this time to respond wherever you are, wherever you find yourself today. If you need to make a decision today to accept Christ, today's the day of salvation. So I want to invite you, if you want to stand, if you want to come forward, wherever you find yourself, just to take a few minutes here.